Usually we begin this podcast with an embarrassing story. Does anyone have an embarrassing story?
I do, but I'm not sharing it.
Why? <'Cause> that's the point.
Because it's embarrassing.
That's the whole point. You air your embarrassing and then we, you know, start all clean.
I'll do a funny one, which is only like a 3-second story. But
all right, look, sure.
This past weekend, I was out at a Bucks party and I didn't have that many to drink. I wasn't super tipsy, but I was tired and delirious. And
that'll do it.
I went to pay for a drink after I'd finished up and I was taking, you know, public transport to get out to Whoop Whoop. And then I went to pay for this drink with a $5 note and I was tapping the pay pass with my $5 note.
No.
And the clerk the clerk was just looking at me do it. And then I stopped myself and realized what I was doing and started laughing. I tried to pay for it with PayPass and he's like, yeah, I know.
He just wasn't having it.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm very aware.
I was laughing.
Like he thought it was scripted. You were prepared to go up there with your $5 note and specifically PayPass.
Yeah, he was like, oh, this freaking funny guy. Who does he think he is?
Trying to lighten up my evening.
None of that.
What a butt.
We don't do that. I mean, I literally travelled over the weekend. You'd think I'd have an embarrassing story, but I don't really.
No.
I'm pretty lucky with travel, aside from the fact that my flight out that was meant to leave at 7, so I was up at like 4:30, was cancelled.
Ooh.
That was rough. That was real annoying. But that's about it.
Wow.
And that wasn't my fault, so it's not embarrassing to me.
I guess that's good.
Mm.
Well, who doesn't want to travel to Melbourne? Like, why would they fly or why would they cancel the flight?
I don't know why the flight was cancelled. I still, to this day, do not know. I just woke up to, hey, there's been some changes to your flight. And I was like,
by changes, we mean it's non-existent.
Yeah, by changes, I mean it's not happening.
Maybe the pilot quit. Have you seen those stories of pilots who are like,
really?
Yeah, they're like, oh, heck, the plane, we have to delay it. We can't find the pilot. And then so they send someone to the hotel room and they open the hotel room and their uniform is just on the bed.
Is that how pilots...
Apparently, that's how some pilots have been like...
What a cool way to quit. Like maybe
just like not showing up to
like
work.
Like if I quit here one day, maybe I'll just come into work and put my clothes on my chair at my desk and then leave. And then you guys come in and go, where's Sarah? And you turn the chair around and you're like, oh, she's quit.
She's just going through a costume change.
Yeah, that's right.
Like I don't know if that's real. It could be one of those classic fake Reddit stories. But if it is, that's amusing.
Yeah,
it is. I do like that.
Quite a ballsy way to go. Like, good on them.
Fake it for the upvotes.
In the middle of Bali or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Could you imagine if that pilot, like, they quit when they were off and then they have to catch their own airline?
Yeah. See, that's the awkwardness.
What do you do? Do you reckon pilots, when they're on flights, critique the other pilots? They're just like, oh, never would have descended like that. Rookie move right there. What is this, your first flight, mate? Like, do you reckon they... Because I don't know about you guys, but like, whenever I go into retail, I critique the people there. Because I've been in retail. I know what it's like. You don't need to be a dick. All right? I wasn't happy to be there. But I still had a smile on my face.
For the most part.
For the most part.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, Jono, do you ever get a pizza and go, ooh.
Yeah, I do.
I would have been better.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, see?
Actually, quite a lot.
You do, I think.
That's fair.
Yeah, do you ever go to an arcade?
Oh, yeah.
And think, boy, this is a trash arcade.
They need to fill up that arcade machine. You know, they need there's a max ticket payout on this machine.
What's the deal with that freaking arcade machine with the chocolate? Have you seen that one? It's the machine.
Is it the one where you get maybe the you get the toy, or if you fail, then you get the chocolate?
No. It's like this machine that has this slow moving little.
Yeah, that's the one with claws.
Like the pusher. No. Yeah, it has a little. Yeah, it's like a little pusher thing, and it just moves back and forward, and like very occasionally
something drops,
edges something towards the edge, but never quite falls over.
Yeah. So
like, screw that whole thing.
They're coin pusher games.
Whoever invented that, burn in hell.
They're super popular.
It's so dumb.
Yes. The chocolate ones though, they tend to be like pity prizes.
Those chocolates have been in there for
like you
years,
get yeah they? You get pity tickets and you get pity prizes.
Yeah.
And often the lollies are the pity prize. Although those coin pushers really, really popular. They're so popular now, in fact, that there's a whole UK game show based off it, and it's like what?
I've watched part of it with my mum, who hated it, and that's why we watched it. We like hate watched it together. It's like the most unclimactic thing I have ever seen.
With the extra sound effects.
Oh my god, will it push it off the edge? Oh, I didn't.
Oh, it's like $150.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, but like wouldn't so it bad. The whole thing just be a climactic show, because like, from what my memory with those pushing machines, there's always one lolly that is like right on the edge.
Yes.
And it pushes it and it goes
but like
it's quite the tease,
and then your brother comes along and just shakes it violently and sets it off and you still get the lolly and run.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Although I've seen that happen in shows where in between it falls.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the big ones, you know, so it was like the double point, like the double
big old chomp
thing.
No, wait, sorry.
And
okay.
And they didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
Because they didn't push the button that made the thing fall to get it. So they were like, it didn't count.
That is some bullshittery right there.
Yeah. And from then on, I was like, never watching the show again.
That sounds like arcade rules.
Dodge. No, arcade rules are whatever it takes to get the prize, you get the prize. You can shake the boy, do what you gotta do. Get it. Get your chocolate.
I see.
Get your chockey.
Was there any machine? What is the machine? I love this turn into an interview. What is the machine in the arcade that you think if you're going to go for, that's the one that'll actually give you something? Because they're all pretty rigged, I'm pretty sure. Like, there's always little things that make it harder for you. But surely there's going to be one that's, like, not entirely rubbish. Keely used to work at an arcade.
I used to work at two different arcades.
Oh, two different arcades.
My favorite for guaranteed tickets was this one called, what was it called? Oh, can't remember.
You just describe
it. It was like this big long machine, and it had all these little tiles, and you got like 40 ping pong balls. And the whole point was you throw the balls and it hits each tile. There's like tons of them.
Oh.
And it turns the lights off, or it changes the light. And then if you get them all, you get a bonus round. And then you could just like keep going, and it like doubles your points. And that always gives you a good amount of tickets. Because you can just take five, toss them all at once, and it's going to ping around and get stuff. Also, I don't work for them anymore. It doesn't matter. You can lean forward and tap them. The ones at the front.
That'll do it.
Those ones. A lot of those kind of games, you're more likely to get tickets.
There you go.
The games you cheat in.
Yeah,
the ones that are like,
no, arcade rules. Like, when I keep saying that means something.
Arcade rules.
No, bro, we're going arcade rules.
Well, it's like claw machines are a payout set.
Yeah.
Thing, you know. They don't pay out until you get an X amount of money put into the machine. Whereas most other things are fine. They have a max payout limit most of the time. So it'll be like, okay, it's paid out, say, 10,000 tickets. If it pays out 10,000 tickets in a day, it'll shut down automatically. Like, you can set your own thing and they shut down because someone's paid too much, or it's paid out too much, and now they're like,
that's too much.
And usually that's because there are a group of people who have figured out how to ace certain skill games. So there's this baseball one where you gotta like hit the ball as it comes down, and it can get all these things. Certain people have learnt how to get the jackpots
on
more skill-based games, and then they come in and they jackpot, max out the machine, go to the next one, jackpot.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, arcade's no longer making money, shut down that machine.
Yep. There you go.
Just forego all the poor chumps that have spent 10,000 and did nothing. This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So we better shut this machine down.
None of that, thank you.
Yep.
If you go to arcades in shopping centres, sometimes you can get good deals. Sometimes they work with other like stores.
Oh, they
like one of the ones that I worked at, there was a GB at the shopping center.
Yeah.
And with those people who come in a lot, they get all the points and they save them. If they don't want anything in particular, like, hey, go through the catalog, it's a this to this ratio. Kind of like this many points gets you, or you say how many points you get, we can tell you what you can get. So we had this one guy come in and buy like Xboxes.
Dang. With these tickets.
And then hit sell them on eBay.
Nice.
Rigging the system.
Always goes to the best people.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently this guy, I found out after I left, he's like a professional gambler. Like that's his job.
Damn.
Like he doesn't have a job, but he goes to the casino and he gambles, which arcades are gambling.
Are effectively gambling. Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like at the first arcade I worked at, there was this big machine and it was $10 a play. It was a big claw machine. And it had giant plushies, right? They had the gambling commission place come in and say either you drop the price or you increase the payout because it's not enough and it's gambling. Like that is too close to gambling. It's no longer like playing for fun. It's gambling. So there's certain machines, like there's a lot of regulation around, especially claw machines more than anything.
So now it's $9.90 to go for the claw machine, yeah?
I think it's still the same price, but I think they increased the payout.
The chance amount of you actually getting something. There you go. Cool. Well, Keely is taking a drink, but I think she's forgotten it's her week to introduce the show.
Hmm?
Yeah. It's your week to introduce the show. Yes, it is. So don't mind us.
Insert elevator music.
John, are you going to learn very quickly that this is a very heinous show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mister, I haven't watched, listened to any of them. Like, I can talk. I don't
listen. Yeah, no, you're throwing shade out there, and I'm like,
I listen to everything.
I listen every now and then. Because I edit them. Anyway, welcome to Load Letter Save, episode 9. I am one of your hosts, Hell's Henchman, a.k.a. Keely. I'm also joined by my co-host, Rancid Empire, a.k.a. Sarah. And let's meet our guest, Michael, number 3, Forsaken Magic, a.k.a. Jono.
Yay! Whee! Guest Michael, number 3, Jono.
Hello.
Clapping sound.
Those were metal name generators. Not metal as in like...
The material.
The material, but like metal as in the genre.
What was I? Forbidden Metallic Magic?
Forbidden Forsaken? Magic. Forsaken Magic.
Forsaken Magic.
Forsaken
you were Rancid
Magic.
Empire.
I like Rancid Empire.
I was Hell's Henchman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which like, heck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
I actually, when I was a child, I said the...
You were the henchman of hell?
I was the henchman of hell. No. I had a... if I was ever going to make a heavy metal band, I'd call it Pavlova.
Yeah.
Because to me, the idea of someone screaming Pavlova...
Yeah.
Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, sure.
You're like, we are Pavlova! And then it goes into the breakdown, you know, like that's...
Oh, yeah.
Like seeing that live, you'd be like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, is Pavlova trademarked, do you reckon?
I don't know.
Or is that's
it
a great
like
question.
Broad
no,
enough that it,
I think it's broad
not
enough.
Like, because you know, you can't be like, oh, trademark cake.
Or would
like,
you do Pavlova, but the V is actually a triangle symbol?
Oh, Illuminati.
I mean, not what I was going for, but okay.
Okay, I went in a different direction.
there's a band called Baked Alaska.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It's a band. But they're like a white supremacist band or something.
Oh, right.
I only know this because I watched a documentary.
Maybe you should opened with that.
No, like it's like, oh, okay, that's a thing. But no, I watched this documentary on Netflix last night and it's like about the internet and one of the episodes was about neo-Nazis and how this chick like fell into becoming a Nazi and it showed the list of like a flyer from one of their big rally things and it was like, this person baked Alaska. And I'm like, oh, isn't that like a dessert?
I only know about it because of The Sims 2. You could make baked Alaska.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that's the one that they set on fire.
Yeah, it's like an ice cream that you like set on fire or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Something fancy.
And it gives it like a really nice sort of the... Sort of like, you know...
Flavour of white supremacy.
What is it? No, it like does a thing at the top. It makes it all... Not crunchy. What's the word I'm looking for? Like nice crisp.
Crisp.
It adds a little crisp.
Oh.
Crisp
is a word that starts at the back of your mouth and ends at the front.
Crisp. Anyway,
welcome to Lolo to Save.
This is our gaming podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure that you say that every time because we do that.
I'm going to change it to it's our gaming adjacent podcast because gaming is there, but usually it just becomes madness.
It's just shit talk.
On average. Yeah.
Also, we don't censor this one anymore.
I don't censor either of them anymore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I'm lazy.
And no one's complained.
Yeah, no one has complained. If you do have a complaint, feel free to send it to themwilltakepodcasts@gmail.com.
It will go straight to junk.
I will read it out. I will take your complaints on board.
Have you checked the email?
Yes.
Have we not gotten?
Goose egg. Someone please talk to me. I'm really lonely. Anyway, let's talk about some games. Let's start off with guest Jono number 3, who has played four games in the last 10 years. Which one are you playing now, Jono?
Wow.
Where is the lie?
I don't think there is. But
what, Call of Duty 4, Gears of War?
I don't think that's even in the last 10 years.
You don't reckon?
No. So Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Gears of War.
Yeah.
Apex, PUBG.
PUBG.
Yeah. I think that's within the last 10 years.
PUBG, yeah.
Yeah.
PUBG was like the last 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Really?
Four?
No. Surely. Maybe
no.
not.
No, I don't think so. No. I did a blog post on it and maybe it was 2016.
It was early access when I was playing.
Which so. I guess 2016 is like 5 years, not four.
Oh, that
right now, I just play Apex. Apex is my thing.
Yeah.
Apex Legends.
And so, Jono, please explain to us why you enjoy connecting your nipples to the little bits of the car and to a battery and just like shocking yourself with pain while playing that game.
Just want to quickly say, suck where are you going? 2017,
there you go.
For what?
For PUBG.
For when it became a legitimate
because
game?
When it was released, yep.
Yeah.
So it was early access before that, though. Because I was playing it when I was living in Frankston many, many moons ago.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that, that's your first memory?
Nah, gee.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah,
no, Apex
I enjoy
Legends.
That.
You enjoy the electric shock.
Yeah, I'm into that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
No, fair enough.
Fair enough.
You enjoy the pain.
I fell out of Apex after like season 4.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and then because I jumped ship over to Warzone.
Yeah.
And then Warzone moved into Modern Warfare because I love getting into those sweaty SND lobbies.
Yeah, you do enjoy Search and Destroy.
I freaking froth it.
Why?
Competitive. It's like, it's the closest I can get to like competitive esport titles, like playing at a certain level anyway. Yeah. Because like with S&D, it's one life per round.
It is.
There's an objective. So it's cool because it's not just like when you play pub types of games where it's like capture the flag. Where it's capture the flag and then you no one does that. They just kill each other.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, well, you're forced to play that.
Yeah, so you're forced to play the objective in S&D. But
Just a domination in Call of Duty where you had to capture the certain points.
Yeah.
That used to shit me because I'd go and I would do it.
Yeah.
I'm team, like I'm going on there. I'm going to stand there and capture the thing. And I'm half the time back in the day, I'm the only one freaking doing it. Everyone else is just fighting. And
exactly.
I'm just like, yeah, cool. I'm just going to stand here and capture B. At least everyone going.
Win.
Yeah.
Well, because what will happen is like the way those sorts of games work is, you know, you'll either spawn at like, you know, A or C. So like eventually it comes down to me just trying to spawn camp the enemy team while I'm trying to capture the objective that they're spawning at. But yeah, like that's all I do.
Yeah.
I can remember when Apex had that sort of mode and I was just like chilling on the objective by myself.
Big objective boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone else just goes off and kills people. So that's I understand it in that regard.
Yeah. But I guess that's like I play games that are quick to get, like, it's quick to get into and out of.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to commit a lot to. So that's why I really don't play a lot of single player games if I play single player games.
Mm, the commitment?
Yeah, the commitment. Because, like, I'll end up, to try and dedicate large blocks of time to play a certain game. Like sometimes I can fit like 2 hours of Apex in, which is crazy. But then other times I could only fit like an hour.
Mm.
And I feel like it's not enough time in a single player game to really have get a really good experience and get immersed. Exactly. Like, not to use immersed as like a really crazy buzzword, but yeah, like trying to sit down, play a game, and then you come back to it in 3 days and do the same thing. I just feel it's not the same. And so, like, I love Gears of War, and I think I played through Gears of War 4, but Gears 5, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I the same sort of thing. Like, I tried to sit down for an hour and then play it and then come back to it in a few days and then, like, try and do the same thing, but it's just weird. It's like, there's no point. I should just sit down and play the whole thing, but I don't have time to do that.
That's fair. It is hard to play a game, especially one with a story, and then go away for a little bit and come back. And I guess with a child, it's not easy to actually commit that time.
Yeah.
Aside from when he's finally asleep and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just enjoy being sweaty.
You're often tired and stuff as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't use that too much of an excuse to say, like, tired and like kid responsibilities. I don't know. It's just weird. It's not the same as also being competitive.
You just prefer the competitive aspect.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think I do. Like, that allure
your fun
is way.
Competition.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know at the same time, because my brother asked me a question last night because we had a few rounds of Apex and we got smashed. And I can continue playing. And he's the type to be like, nah, that's it. Okay. I've lost 7. So I'm logging off tonight. I can't play this game. He's like, how do you sit here and still get smashed and then continue playing? And I don't know. I just enjoy the competitive nature of, like, it's probably like gambling. It's like gambling addiction because you could win.
Yeah.
Mm. But if you lose, you can just jump right back into another one and try again. Yeah.
Lobby time is fast?
Yeah, generally. But, you know, the hack is if the oceanic ones are not going too well, just jump over to Singapore. And Singapore's buzzing
then
all the time.
You can play with all the hackers over there.
Yeah, there's quite a few more in there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does happen.
Yeah. Nah, I've myself gone way, way off Apex. I just found that, like, I don't know about you, Jono, because you do have a lot more years of that competitive multiplayer experience on me. Like, I've been gaming for a long time, but I haven't been doing, like, you know, online stuff for a long time. I just find that if I don't practice every day for freaking 12 hours a day, everyone else gets better than me. And then I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Yesterday I was doing great, and now today I, you know, couldn't hit a stationary target, and I don't know why. And I just found that, like, that case of, like, I don't know, just the lack of control you could have over the game to be really annoying.
Yeah.
The RNG-ness, which is not a word, RNG-ness, also annoying. Like, you know, you hot drop, you land, someone opens a pill next to you, they get a gun, you don't, you die. I find that really frustrating and really annoying, because there's nothing you can do there, you know, and because you're at the mercy of your teammates sometimes. That can happen quite a few times.
Go away and you come back and the meta's totally changed as well.
Yeah.
With those kind of things, yeah.
Yeah, because
it's tough. Yeah. I found with those kind of games as well, for me it was almost like if you don't start at the start, like if you're not playing on launch, you got no hope of being anything or getting out of the pleb status, which, I mean, look, I'm bad at those kind of games. I'll admit it. Not my specialty. So I tend to be in the pleb status, but in some of them it's kind of like, at least at the start, everyone's learning together.
Yeah.
At least that specific game. Sure. You've got people who are just better because they're good at shooters or whatever. But you feel less like you're the only one who doesn't know what's going on. And I was like that when I played a lot of Overwatch. I played that when it on, like, in beta. I was, like, all on it. And I had a lot of fun, and I understood it, and I was okay. I came back ages later during when competitive and stuff was coming out. I came back a couple seasons later, and I was really low. And, like, everything changed. You know, you pick the wrong hero, and it's like, what is wrong with you? I can't believe you've done this. And it's like, whoa, what?
Like, I can't believe you've done this.
Like, oh, can't believe you picked that person. It's like, is there a meta now?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing with Apex. Like, there is what you were saying where, you know, there can be a lot of games where you drop in and... Mm.
You drop straight out again.
You're basically back in the lobby again because, yep. You know, maybe you landed in a hot spot with no weapons. And, you know, that's just the luck of the draw there. You know, that happens and that's fine. But I would say the skill ceiling isn't that crazy. Yep. So, like, yes, it's going to... Like, the learning curve for learning the map and the abilities is something. But if you play first-person shooters, it's all very transferable.
Mm.
You know, you do need to take time into... finding that, like, have you played with your sensitivity in the game?
Not really. I actually prefer to change sensitivity on my mouse itself.
Right. So, like, there's those things that you can do where, you know, if you take a little bit of time to, like, fine-tune stuff, you can find that you can get a little bit better. Because you can change your DPI on a mouse, but then there's also in-game sensitivity that you can change and really fine-tune. So, there's that. I find it easier to get better, like, over time. Like, I don't think I have to be doing it 12 hours a day for me to get better. Like, I mean, you've played with me a few times, and essentially the thing I'm lacking is game sense. And game sense game sense comes from, I guess, learning and understanding and reading scenarios in front of you. Mm. And it's not the practical element of aiming and, you know, tracking someone. I can do that quite fine. And predicting movement, but game sense is something that I've had to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've, like, worked on in the past year where just like, okay, what should I have done in this scenario? Or what could I do in this scenario? I hate having choices. And so that's why, like, in the game of Apex, it's quite funny because there can be a point in time where you could shield up or you could revive a teammate or you could run away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just get, you know, choice paralysis and like, ah!
What do them all?
And then get bowed down. But, you know, start to, you know, commit to an action and doing that has helped me a lot.
Mm.
Mm.
I also just get frustrated with people. Like, the people ruin it for me. If Apex was just me, it'd be great. I'd have a great time.
B1s.
No fill.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know. Just the people really bother me. Because, like, a lot of them have that same problem of... And I wonder if it was a side effect of the new comp, ranked. Because the rank system, I don't know if it changed again at all.
It did for this season, season 13. It's way harder to grind up.
Because I was noticing, because I'm a bit of a pubs person. I used to just play the casual mode. But I noticed that in that, everyone just went insane. Like, everyone just hot dropped, ran towards fights, just literally just, like, threw open their arms, like, shoot me. Like, it was ridiculous. And I was like, what is wrong with everyone? Is everyone taking bloody stupid pills? What is happening? And I realized it's because in ranked now, you have to play the shoot a person and hide for the rest of the game and then shoot people and win. You have to play that kind of game. Whereas before, people would go and try and get kills. And so it had this knock-on effect where, like, the pubs matches just became bloody jokes. And it was so infuriating because I was just trying to play my game and everyone's like, why aren't you in here shooting with us? And I'm like, because I have two bullets. That's why. God.
It's quite funny for the game that has the best communication system that I've ever known.
I agree.
The ping system in
so
Apex
good.
Is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there is such a disconnect between, like, your teammates on that game. It's hilarious because it's like you could tell me that the enemy's there by pinging them, or you could just shoot in a direction I don't know.
Charge in,
die, and then ask where I'm at.
Being there.
or you could talk in a private Discord.
Yeah.
Because this is my favorite one. This is the best one. Yep. When it's like, talk in a private Discord, talk to your mate that you've queued up with and calm everything. And then when you die, say, he's right there. Okay, cool. I don't know where there is. And this is the only thing you've said all game.
Yeah.
And now I've died.
Yeah.
And then you're going to yell at me in the lobby because...
it's your fault that we lost.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Like that. There are moments like that, but I think you get that in all games other than single player, which I think is kind of like a good thing, right?
Which is why single player is reigns superior. It's better.
Today's episode of Load Later Save is brought to you by Thermal Take Gaming Systems. Did you know that we design and build our very own gaming systems? Well, now you do. Built right here in Melbourne, Australia by our very own Nick, TT Gaming Systems have a PC for every type of gamer. Head over to the website and check out their extensive range of systems using our link to support us at bit.ly/LLSpod. That's bit.ly/LLSpod. Now back to the episode.
Actually, I have a topic.
you do?
I have a yeah.
Like I mean, yes, like you do. We've brought your topic on.
No. Did you guys see? I don't know if it's new. I just saw a video about it on the weekend. Have you seen that trend where they do the whole, you know, she's a 10, but she's
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. Did you see EA?
Yeah,
that's right.
I didn't understand the dig back at them though.
The backlash for it.
Yeah.
Seems like people are upset because EA have a lot of massive single player developers.
Right.
And they felt like
they
were like, just, you know, if you're not making Apex, if you're not making Battle Royales, you're not worth it, you know.
Right.
But, which is, it is interesting coming from EA when they're one of their biggest series is The Sims.
Yeah, and like their space, they have a history of ruining games by forcing multiplayer-ness onto games that it just doesn't make sense for them to be there.
Yeah. Okay.
So originally, they wanted the new Dragon Age game to be, which has always been a single player experience, to have a multiplayer component. And everyone was like, can you not? And now they have announced that they've removed it, and but they've had to work from the ground up now because they've scrapped this whole thing.
Well, I do believe that was what happened with The Sims as well, because they were going to make a multiplayer Sims.
Sims 4 was going to be multiplayer.
And then realized everyone hated the idea, and they were like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like, there's Anthem, which was BioWare's shocking game. So shocking that I believe EA have removed it. Like, it's now, like, it's dead. Oof. Just dead in the water. Like, they've killed the servers.
Is that the one they were selling for, like, $4?
Yes, that's the one they were selling for $4.
That's sad. That's
yeah,
sad
it had, like, a Destiny-style situation. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just tragic because I felt so bad for all the developers of that game. Like, let's be honest. I mean, look, I did play it. It was indeed garbage. But, however, despite that, I felt really bad for the developers who – it's clearly a case that they had a vision and EA was like, hey, screw you. And then they're like, all right,
well,
guess we're just going to take it because there's not much we can do. So it is unfortunate.
Danger.
I think in part it was taking a little bit of – people got a little bit dramatic at it.
Yeah.
Just because as someone who's worked in social media and is within the marketing team, there's not much of a connection between the game developers and social media.
You know, just the intern did a tweet trying to get on board with the trends.
Especially because it is like a meme trend. It's not whatever normal tweet. It's like a, oh, how can we hop on this trend?
Yeah.
So they tried. That whoever tweeted it probably only plays multiplayer battle royale style games. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I think people were like, oh my God, it's an attack. But it's like, is it?
Yeah, I think that, like, now that I know that that's the reaction, I think. Like, lighten up.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, because they said they, which I thought the attack was like that they, originally I thought that, they said like she, she's a 10. And then, you know, I get the whole like, you know, can't just assume everything as like, you know, hetero or whatever. But, but I thought that was the problem. And I was like, but it says they, so like unifying everyone, and it's just about like genre of game, like it's just a joke.
Yeah, it was interesting because I only found out about it because on the weekend I was getting ready to go out and my partner had put on YouTube on the TV and something about games or whatever, and then it auto-played to like the next video, and I don't know, it was must have been like three videos later or something, and this one came up talking about the tweet, and you know, they were like, they're doing this to, they, it was very like, how could you do this to your developers who do so much and such big
words.
Single player games?
Yeah, I was properties, such big properties.
Okay, sure.
You know, like that make you so much money. But again, I do think it was like, oh, it was just a
It's tongue in cheek. It's nothing serious that you have to be like, because I saw a few people reply to that and, you know, like get their pants on and try and be awesome for the internet and have their moment. But I think it's silly. I mean, it's quite clearly a tongue in cheek sort of thing.
Like people can make mistakes.
Is it a mistake though?
I think it was just a bad joke.
You know, if you reverse it and say like, you know, they were a 10, but they only play multiplayer games. Is that like going to get the same result?
I'm sorry. Get your pants off?
Yeah.
What was that?
That was.
I've never heard that before.
Just put your big boy pants on and be like, yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah. I see.
And prior to that, they had their little boy pants on.
Well, they had, yeah, their little pants on.
Their little pants.
Yeah, but now they're like,
all
right.
Does that mean we all walk around with little pants?
Yes.
At all times.
Until you find that mantle to stand on, that's when you put on your big
pants.
Slacks.
Yeah. See, I can actually totally see the difference in, like, you know, they're this. And honestly, if they went like, they're a 10, but they only play multiplayer games. And then they're a 10, but they only play single player games.
Yeah.
I would rate them differently. I wouldn't be like, they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because as someone who pretty much, not exclusively, but I only play multiplayer cooperative games.
Yeah.
I don't play shooty, bang, bang games.
What a shit human. Gosh.
Shitty, right? Bang, bang.
Like,
no,
oh.
But like, yeah, you have different people who play exclusively. So it's just an interesting thing that people got so up in arms about.
Yeah.
They did. I think a lot of people saw that as like something that could be like, ha ha, check this out.
Mm.
I'm going to...
Although I do get that, you know, there is a lot of heart and soul put into single player games.
Mm.
And maybe people who were writing that got upset. And that's fair enough. You know, I understand if maybe it was the devs that were like...
Yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty interesting to see if a dev... replied to that tweet. I was like, oh yeah, cool.
Thanks. I'm just gonna stop working on your game now.
I mean, like, yeah, you know. No. But yeah.
Well, speaking of single player games, that's the world I've returned to departing from Apex Legends.
Rip.
I have been sinking a lot of my time into the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. That's right, a game that came out in 2006.
Gross.
Yep.
Why?
I have no idea. It just sort of came upon me. I just really wanted to play it. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to load up my mods and jump on. I haven't played these games in years. And I have had so much fun with my little boy pants on the whole time. So much so, if anyone shoots down my fun, I will put on my big boy pants. Because I have enjoyed myself a lot.
That's good.
I mean, that's just like triggered a memory I have. Well, I guess maybe not a memory, but just a query I have for the people that do go back and play games from a really long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Because I don't know. I think I watched a video the other day where someone was like, "Yeah, I got my Nintendo 64 or something."
I think
it was maybe. Or maybe even earlier. But they're like, yeah. And then I was playing this because it's just a great game. I'm like, is it really just a great game or are you just really holding on to nostalgic feelings? Because
Well, first thing I'll say is that Nintendo 64 is a bit older.
Yeah.
Right? So don't, you know, you can't really compare them.
It's on PC. I don't know. I've seen Oblivion.
So that, you know, don't you make fun of my potato people.
I've seen some polygons.
Don't you touch my potato people. They are beautiful. And before, I do run it with mods, so I don't run it completely vanilla. So I do have a bunch of mods on it that make everything look a little bit
nicer,
less painful. I will admit, I'm sure part of it is just like, because that's the game, that was my first Elder Scrolls game. That was a game that got me into a lot of RPGs. So I'm going to assume probably there is an element of rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
However, I actually do think it is a really, really great game. It has, in my opinion, one of the best DLCs of all time so far. I've, you know, the Shivering Isles DLC is just incredible. And yeah, I don't know. There's just a certain, there's something to it that's just like, oh, it's just so well made and so well done for the time. And you know, hey, it's got freaking Sean Bean in it. Or Sean Bean. Or Sean Bourne.
I seen a bean. Cool.
I seen a bean. So yeah, I mean, what more do you want? And then it also has, what's his name? Picard? What's his name? Freaking Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart,
yeah. He's in it for a bit too, just nice. Hanging out.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, man. There's another guy in there who I can't remember. You're still laughing, it's Sean Bourne.
I've seen Bean.
Sean Bourne.
It really changes, like,
scene.
When you picture Sean Bean. He's not Sean Bourne, is he? Because Sean Bourne is a different person.
Yes.
To like, Sean Bean.
Stop. Sean Bourne in the Bourne Identity.
I literally knew a guy in primary school whose name was Sean, and it was spelled S-E-A-N.
Yeah.
And I had a female friend whose name was Shauna, and her name was S-H-A-U-N-A.
Yeah.
And so, naturally, my kid brain was like, well, her name is Shauna, his name couldn't possibly be Sean. Yeah. So just he was seen.
Yeah, I remember reading that and being like, that's definitely obviously seen.
Like,
well, I had a Sean S H A U N in primary school, and then I went to high school and had a Sean S E A N.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
When I first read that, I was like, that's seen.
That does not complete a compute.
And whenever like I'd get a message from him, it was like, oh, seen.
It's seen.
And I'd read it as seen, but I know it was Sean. It was bad.
There are some great names like that. Like, I remember reading look, honestly, in hindsight, ballsy move to put this name in a children's book. I used to read these Mary Kay and Ashley books, and guess who? They decided to put in a character called Siobhan. Now, anyone who knows how to spell Siobhan, it is not spelt the way it is written. So as a kid, I was like, oh yeah, Mary Kate and Ashley and their friend, Siobhan. That's how it's written. So,
wow. Cultured.
There's actually multiple ways to spell Siobhan.
Really?
I know a Siobhan that is
S-H-I-V-I-A-N. See, that's how it's sort of said. That
yeah.
Siobhan.
We call him Shiv.
Shivy.
But yeah. And then I remember seeing Siobhan with the B. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a traditional Gaelic.
Yes.
Irish Gaelic spelling.
One of those, whenever I see videos like that going through the names, I can't, like, I never scroll past because I'm like, I need to hear these again.
Yeah. I need to know. Well, it's like how many people probably did not say the name Hermione right when they...
Hermione.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely reads as Hermione.
Yeah, exactly what
Harry,
I read.
Ron and Hermione.
That's an interesting name, this Hermione.
Interesting.
I'm trying to think of names that I've read and
incorrectly
heard and been like, oh, yeah.
That makes no sense.
Let's see how many people we can insult.
How many names can we insult?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I mean, I get the classic Kelly, which is my fave.
Yes, true.
I feel like that's more of a spelling situation, though, than a speech.
No, nah, people read it and they'll be like, Kelly? No.
What?
Or they'll be like, Keely? And they're very confused.
So I will admit, I always knew it was Keely because there is a character in Quake 3 Arena.
Oh.
No, it's all right. Don't pretend you're not.
No, I'm just surprised there's a game with my name. Okay?
No. Don't. No. So there's this big, tall dude with like big armor and his name was Keel.
Oh.
So your name is his name with a Y at the end. So... Keely. Anyway, all my Quake 3 Arena fans out there, all 12 of you, I hope you appreciated that reference.
Oofed.
It's a good game.
No. No, it's not really.
What do you mean?
Nah. I think I have that. I think Jillian and I played that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? You probably would have just used the rail gun, wouldn't you?
I don't know what I used.
Yeah, nah, you would be a dude.
I was a big Unreal Tournament fan.
Oh, I used to love Unreal Tournament.
That was like one of the first games I was introduced to in a LAN environment.
Oh.
Back in the early 2000s.
What did that become?
What did what become?
didn't Unreal Tournament start as something and it became its own thing or something?
No, no. I think so. They're kind of in the same family, like the Quake and the Unreal.
Well, Quake is the people who made Doom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Unreal are the people who made Epic Games, who made Fortnite.
They're very like similar looking as well.
A little
well.
Bit.
Like the early
similar
ones.
Similar concept as well.
Yeah. Very early on, they were very similar.
Yeah.
But Unreal Tournament, yeah, sort of same thing, like rocket launches and same as Quake.
Yeah.
Every
I'm just getting my wires crossed.
I don't remember how to, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it was like giblets is what they used.
¿Qué pasa?
Which is basically.
A giblet is an innard.
Like an blood. So it must have been giblets.
Oh, yeah.
Because like the game, that you, when you blew somebody up, there was and there were settings to go from like minimal to extra gore.
Oh,
giblets.
All right. Yeah, I probably just had it.
It was freaking awesome.
This is why I find it fine to look at that creepy worm thing.
Yeah, fair.
Anyway, Keely, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep, I played it for a little bit again.
Did you notice all of Aloy's hair on her arms? Disgusting.
I think that's the new one.
Oh, okay.
Also, I have PS4 and like a 1080p.
Okay, so you noticed nothing.
I noticed nothing.
You see nothing at all.
Yeah.
Was that a thing, was it? Was that
people
were like,
disgusting.
She has a mustache.
She has like hair on her
Why
face.
Why does she have facial hair?
Why? What's wrong with that?
It's
because they're men who've never seen a woman in real life before. Right, so they're kind of confused as to why they have hair. But also, like, let's be honest, like, Aloy doesn't live in a world where I dare say she doesn't have access to a Gillette razor quite frequently.
Yes.
So, like she'd probably have even more hair, to be honest.
Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0.
Yeah, in the far future or wherever it's set.
Like, why doesn't she have makeup on?
Yeah, like, it doesn't exist, you dickheads. Idiot. Honestly.
We're a good bunch sometimes.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's a fine game.
We should get see if they can get that on the, put that on the cover of the remastered, you know, where they put the review, where they're like IGN and just be like, it's fine.
Just hit platinum. It's fine.
It's fine.
No, I think I am in the section of people where it's like, it's fun, but I struggle to keep interested.
Interesting. Why is that same things over and over again?
Know.
Is it suffering from Assassin's Creed?
Maybe. I did see, I put it down for ages, and then I saw a comment on something of someone saying they tried it, couldn't get around it, tried it like 3 times, played it through, and then each time it was still like, it was okay. And then they decided to not do the side quests and the errands and things. And then they were like, oh, that was actually fun. So it seems like, yeah, they were like the side quests. Because I mean, like, you have those errand. There's main missions, side missions, and then errands. And the errands, oh my freaking god!
Are they like collecting things? Like go get
talk to
eggs.
This person. Go another 1,000 meters, like
talk
bloody
to
feet,
this person.
And then talk to this person. And it's like, and one of those little areas is really confusing. Like I'm always getting lost and just like fast traveling out.
Yeah,
took me ages to figure out how the fast travel worked, which was a real problem.
Fast travel.
Yeah, but yeah, like it's like I spent some time doing the collectibles stuff, like going around finding the collectibles, and I understand that it's one of those games that people enjoy the most when they're just, you know, running around, finding things and it being pretty and stuff. But it's like, no, man, I have an objective to hit. I'm this weird, like, I want to do all the collectibles, but also, like, oh, there's so many collectibles. Like, what's the point?
That does sound a bit odd.
I'm such a weird, like, no game is made for me because I do not like any one thing. Well, also, like, I like it and I hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
I enjoy the concept. You know, yeah. I really, the story is quite interesting. Because, I don't know, it's like, I should love it. And I know I should. And I have fun, but I'm also like.
Okay.
Wow, I don't even know what to say to that. My
two
brain,
sound bites today.
There's
it's fine, and you know, Okay.
Yeah.
I play it and I'm not like, oh, that was fun. I can't wait to play tomorrow. It's just like, it's like I'm staring at all my games. I'm like, what do I want to play?
Yeah.
I guess I will play this.
It hasn't grabbed you.
No.
Interesting.
I think it did a little bit at the start. But now not so much. I think I'm like 40-something percent of the way in, 48 or something like that.
I would like to petition for that to be removed. You know how it'll tell you like how far you are or how much completed you are?
Yeah.
I would like that gone.
Nah.
No, I don't, because then I feel like, oh, there's so much more I have to do. Oh, but true. If I don't know, then I'm like, oh, well, I'll jump back in for a few hours and see what I can get done. Like, because the last game, I've only ever 100% completed one game,
mm-hmm.
ever, which was Batman Arkham Knight. Because if you 100% complete it, you get a cute little extra cutscene at the end. And I was like, well,
gotta do it.
Gotta do it, bro. And so I did. And I collected like 200 of these bloody little Riddler trophies that drove me up the bloody wall. But I did it all and I finished the game and it was cool. And look, was it worth my time? Probably not. Could have watched the cutscene on YouTube. But the thing is, but I do recall, like finding it frustrating that, you know, I wasn't, like when I'd almost finished the main story, it was like 60% complete.
Yes.
And it's because I hadn't collected these bloody Riddler trophies. Yep. And I was just like, this is kind of annoying, because then you're finishing a game and the game is saying to you, you're not even close to actually finishing it. When you're like, well, no, I am. I just don't want to pick up these stupid little things all over the map.
Yeah.
I think Red Dead did that well, because Red Dead had story completion and then side quest and then challenges. Like each thing that you could do
had its own thing.
So you know, okay, I'm this close into finishing the story. If you just want to focus on the story and do all the other stuff after, of course, then again, when you don't look at those things, you get situations like me where I'm like, oh, this story is getting really intense. I just want to smash through because I'm like really enthralled. And then you get to the end of it and you're like, oh, now I'm sad that I finished the story so quickly, because I thought there was going to be way more. But now I'm sad because the end of this is sad.
Yeah.
And then you regret. And then I haven't gone back to it because I know how sad it is. I'm like,
yeah, I did the exact same thing. I haven't gone back to it at all.
I can't do it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it just sort of finished.
I don't understand replaying single player games. If you already know what's happening.
I've only done it to Portal.
Why?
I really like puzzles and I forget the puzzles after a long time.
Okay. Yeah, so it's still kind of like a...
It's the puzzles that I find the most fun.
New experience again.
Yeah, I haven't played a story game redone. I've done things like Stardew Valley. I've replayed that. Even though, I mean, like, it's not a linear story. So
no,
I guess it's different.
That's it.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't think you've played
The Witcher. I've replayed a lot of games.
Quite a few times.
I tend to only replay games that have choices or different ways I can do it, or games that give you options for different classes so you can experiment with a different class.
Yep.
So with Oblivion, historically, I always was an elf archer because that's who I am, apparently. So this time I decided I was going to be a Breton mage and I was going to focus on being a mage. And I don't think anyone from my old stream listens to this, but if they do, they know exactly why that's a challenge for me. Because many times on stream I would try and I'd start, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to be a mage, guys. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm only going to be a mage. And then like 6 hours in, I've got a bow and I'm, you know, stabbing people. And I'm like, okay, that didn't quite work.
Not what I planned.
Wasn't the plan. So this time I was determined to actually do it. And I did. And I'm now the best mage there is. I've literally mastered my destruction skill, though.
Look at you go.
Anyway, yeah, so for me it comes down to that. It's all to do with the fact that you can approach a story that's comfortable, that you know, but you can do it in a different way. I guess the best comparison I can give is there's a reason why The Office is one of the most watched TV shows of all time, and it's because there's a certain comfort in watching that same thing over and over and over again, even though you know what's going to happen. And that's what it's like for me. It's like kind of like I know what's going to happen, but I can kind of come at it from a different way or choose things differently, and it's kind of fun to see what happens.
Mm.
Mm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also never understood why people watch reruns.
Like watch the same show over and over again?
Like, I mean, yeah, like, okay, say same episode over and over again. Show, I can understand, because there'd be like 24 episodes. You probably forget.
Yeah, at
like
least
a large portion of what happens in all of them. But like, if you watch the same episode, I get like, this is coming from a guy that used to watch the same movies over and over again. So I can't explain why.
I
found that
you've changed.
You know, that but versus where like, where the line is, I guess. I don't understand going back and playing single player games when you have no choice, when the story is just perfectly linear, and why people do that. And what you get out of it the second time, knowing what's going to happen.
I think it depends on how much time there's been in between.
Mm. Yeah, true. Yeah, like I go back
been
and
like 4 years, I'll be like, whoa, I can't
remember
anything. There's
two games I replay every year, and they are linear single player games. So it's because they're games that mattered a lot to me as a kid, so I replay them as an adult as kind of like this nice little, I guess, tradition.
Okay.
So yeah, like I replay those every year. Yeah, and that again, it's literally because it's a bit of a tradition I have.
So it's Earthworm Jim and Ratchet and Clank.
No, it's Worms, not Worms MD. WMD.
Worms MD. Armageddon.
That'd be interesting, like the Worms, a Worms game, but you're all doctors. You're like surgeons. Anyway, yes, so
what
that's
games
why.
Are they?
Worms MD. no, it's American McGee's Alice and Psychonauts.
Ah,
I
yes.
play those two games every year because they were the bomb.com as a child. So, yes. And my name is in the credits of Psychonauts too. So,
look, here you go.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's fair, though.
Anyway.
It's like rereading books.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think the closest thing for me is those people who watch The Office like over and over and over again.
Comfort shows.
It's that comfort show. Mm. Yeah.
And I totally understand that. One of my friends' comfort show is Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
Ash's comfort show is the first couple seasons of The Office.
Yeah.
Like the middle seasons. I think my comfort show is actually season 3 of Stranger Things.
Interesting.
Specifically season 3, I think, is my fun one. Because I think it's the most, like, fun.
Yeah, it
positive
is. Yeah.
Season out of all four. And if I want comfort, I'm going to go for that.
Hmm.
And if Jono wants comfort, he'll beat up it. Beat up.
Careful.
Beat up children in the street. No, he'll boot
Lord.
Up Call of Duty 4 and play some S&D.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think I can play games. Like, after I've left them, that's a lie.
You've
with
like
Apex.
Buried them.
Yeah. Unless there's something different about it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we might have to wrap this one up.
Yes.
We're going to get kicked out of the office in a second.
We are.
Thank you for listening. If you made it all the way to the end, congratulations. I think we talked about games for about 40% of this podcast, so it's pretty good. If you did enjoy it, please leave it a rating wherever you did listen. We would really appreciate it. It helps other listeners find
a good rating, ideally, please.
Oh, yes. Minimum of 5 stars, I think, is pretty reasonable.
I think, yeah. Unless the maximum is 10. Then
in which case, minimum of 10.
Yeah.
Just minimum of whatever the maximum is. Also, feel free to check out Then We'll Take Stuff. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We have YouTube. What video is going out on the YouTube channel this week, Jono?
This week, we've got a really cool...
We don't know what's going out.
No, wait. When is this going
out? This will be going out on Sunday.
This Sunday?
This Sunday.
Okay.
Then what has just come up on YouTube has been a really sick video.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can talk about it because it's already been out.
I guess that's true. So it's a video with Leishi, tech YouTuber from here in the Victorias, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
She builds her first PC, and she builds the PC.
That's right.
That's right. So she came in, and we aided her in telling her what parts she should go for the budget she wanted to spend, but also the things she wanted to do with that PC, and just gave her a bit of a guidance here, but in terms of, you know, just a little bit more of a confidence boost.
Yeah.
We enjoy letting people build their PCs and learning how to do it rather than doing it for them. And, yeah, she's got two videos that are coming out on that. We've got one. Go watch them.
Yeah.
LISSSHY.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done.
Say that, but I can't read any of our own links.
No, none of our ad spots that ad spot that's in halfway. The ad spot halfway during this video is absolutely not the first take. I'll just tell you that all for free.
LLS.
Lawless. I think that's it. Oh, we have a blog. Check out the blog. blog.thermotech.com.au.
Check out our YouTube channel.
I already said that.
Check it out again.
Check it out for a second time. And I think that is it. Have a good life.
Come see you next fortnight.
Well, would you like to say to the people, Jono?
Thanks for listening to me. Yep. That's it.
That's it.
Been right, good. Cool. Been good to come on this show.
Thanks for coming, Jono.
Now you know what the show is.
Now I do know what the show is, and I don't think there'll be any more episodes.
Welcome to the last episode of Lonely to Save.
Bye.
Bye.